White nose syndrome has been present in Europe for a while, but it was first found in New Hampshire in 2009, and it didn't take long to start doing harm.
In 2010, we had some huge losses. It was really quite scary.
Emily Preston is a biologist at Fish and Game. She says as the disease started to accelerate, biologists decided to pull the plug on bat surveys. They reasoned disturbing the animals in the abandoned mines where they spend the winter would lead to even higher mortality.
Look, there's scat down there.
But this winter, they went back for the first time in 3 years. It was kind of like walking into an abandoned city or the set of a post-apocalyptic Hollywood movie.
No, nothing.
Fish and Game provided this audio of Preston and another biologist from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service surveying one site. There used to be 3,230 bats in the state's four biggest hibernating colonies. This year's count found 16. Two of what had been the most common species, the northern long-eared and the little brown bat, were missing entirely.
That's the bats. Okay, so this is the last photo.
Okay,
I'm disturbing them.
I caught up with Preston after the survey in her office.
In the top of the mines, there are old holes where they would drill in to put the dynamite, and the northern long-eared bats would pack themselves into these little holes, and you were trying to count their little noses to try to figure how many bats there were in there. And all of them are empty. There are no bats in them anymore, and it's so depressing.
Also depressing is the fact that white nose is extremely difficult to combat. The disease is incredibly contagious, particularly among cave hibernating bats. That's according to Ann Ballman, biologist at the National Wildlife Health Center.
When they gather together, it's very similar to the daycare theory where you have one sick child, you bring those into a population of susceptible children, and then you can spread the disease that way.
White nose doesn't even need a host, since it can live on the moist walls of the hibernacula.
So it has been demonstrated that the fungus itself will persist at a site once it's contaminated for many, many seasons, even if the bat population is drastically reduced.
The only treatment that has worked so far is repeatedly rubbing each individual bat with an antifungal ointment. And even this has only worked in the lab. The fungus itself grows into the bat's skin tissue, especially the wings. It messes with their ability to regulate their body temperature and moisture and causes them to wake from hibernation. And that, says Preston, makes them use up their fat stores.
When they're infected with white nose syndrome, they are waking up every 6 days. Basically, what they're dying of is starvation and dehydration because of the fact that they have burnt through their stored energy.
But it can also just cause lesions, an eventual tiny cardiac arrest.
Yeah, that'll do.
So far, with no clear way to fight the disease, wildlife officials are taking some standard countermeasures, keeping people out of caves in the winter and asking spelunkers to disinfect their gear. And they want anyone who has survivors of the epidemic roosting in their house over the summer to find a way to coexist with them.
Look good.
But ultimately, if bats are going to recover in New Hampshire, it's all about the long game. That hinges on the very few bats that are still hanging on in Granite State mines.
We're hoping that they're passing on whatever that thing is that allows them to survive.
Biologists will be watching for that adaptation, whatever it is. So too, presumably, will the bats. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.